It's personal bravery in partnership with the divine that allows us to courageously take our place in this world. This is the Way of Valor.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Way of Valor. I am your host, Angie Taylor, and it is good to be with you guys today. I am just coming off a missions trip to the Philippines. I got home like less than 20 hours ago, so my brain's a little still foggy, a little jet lag still, but excited to come on with you and just share some of my thoughts from that trip and what God did on that trip, as well as eventually I will get some of the students to jump on. Today, I wanted to talk to you, though, very quickly about experiencing and encountering God's extravagant love for us. You know, one of the things that I recognize, especially as we're traveling abroad with students, we had a team of about 70 students come from South Korea and all over the United States together. And then we met with our Filipino school. And so there were students from all over the world. And, you know, I think in our Christian faith, we often get things a little bit confused on, I want to be used by God. I want to show up and do big things for God when we love Him. And I, you know, I am completely someone who also feels that way. But when we're doing that, a lot of times we miss that God loves us extravagantly and that He came actually to serve us, which sounds really counterintuitive. But when you look at Jesus' life on earth, you know, one of the things that He did was He sat and He washed the feet of His disciples. And obviously the major thing is we're just going into Easter that's coming up is He gave His one and only Son for us. And I think sometimes in our faith, it becomes really, really easy to not allow the gravity of that gift to soak in to us and to really just bathe in the goodness and extravagant love that God's bestowed on us. In fact, we get so busy doing things for God and wanting to do big things for God that we miss this piece often. I know I'm guilty of this. And so, the Lord taught me this lesson a number of years ago. I may have shared it on a previous podcast, but I can remember when I was probably 10 to 15 years into my marriage and my husband did something for me that really blew me out of the water. He had given our Visa card to one of my good friends. She was a Nordstrom shopper and he said, go buy my wife a new wardrobe at Nordstrom's. And so she went and she bought 10 complete boxes. I mean, the full outfit from jewelry all the way down to, you know, the entire outfit. And I had like 10 boxes delivered to my office of these Nordstrom clothes gifts. And it was overwhelming to me, so much so that I brought them home. I hung everything up. They were beautiful. They were not on sale. I hung up everything in my closet and I did not wear any of it for days. And so finally one night my husband's asking me, he says, do you not like the gifts that I gave you? And I said, I love the gifts, but I realize there's so many other things we could have done with that money. There's, you know, our family has different needs. That only serves me. It doesn't serve anybody in our family. And I actually feel really guilty about this extravagant gift. And my husband said, you know, the gift is yours to do whatever you want to do with this gift. So if you want to take it back and do something else with the gift, you're welcome to do that. Or you can fully receive the gift, enjoy it the way it was intended to be given. So I prayed about it and was, and I know some of you are listening to this call and you can't even come up with why I would feel guilty about that. But I'm like, we weren't in a place financially where that was something we did ever. And so it really felt extravagant for me. And so I was praying about, you know, gosh, I feel really guilty about this gift. What should I do with this gift? I do love the gift. I love the gift very much. There was nothing that I didn't like. I loved everything. And the Lord in that moment said to me, Angie, if you cannot receive a gift of clothing that wasn't on sale, that feels like it's outside of your current budget, how could you even begin to comprehend and receive the gift that I gave you and my son, the extravagant gift that spared no cost, that gave lavishly for you just to completely enjoy? How do you even begin to receive that if you can't even receive the gift of clothing? And in that moment, I was undone by the extravagant. He was right. You know, the gift of clothing felt extravagant and expensive. And yet it paled in comparison of God's gift of his son to me. I was overwhelmed by it. So in that moment, I kept the gift, loved the clothes, began wearing them the very next day and enjoying it. Guilt-free, by the way, just really the gift was intended to bless me. The gift was intended to, you know, help me show up better at work, all of the things. So I began wearing it, but it shifted my attitude on receiving the gift of God's love and realizing that God is not a user God. Like, he loved us with no thought of anything in return from us except for receiving the gift of his love and fully embracing that and believing in it. And when I started doing that, everything changed for me. You know, spending regular time encountering and just basking in worship in his love is one of my favorite things to do. And so when we travel globally, you know, and our kids are serving on the mission field and loving on other people, this is one of those things that I often pull us back and say, man, can we just rest in the embrace of a father right now who wants to pour into us, because it's from our fullness of him that we flow out into people. And so if we're coming on this mission trip trying to give out of our depleted space because we feel like we owe something and we got to do something big for God, we have failed to comprehend the miraculous transformational work that Jesus wants to do in our life. And so as we move into this Easter season, I just wanted to come on for a few minutes and talk about, have you fully received the extravagant gift of his son for you? And yes, the outflow of that is, man, I want to show up and I want everybody to know about this gift, not because I feel like it's my job, but I want everybody to know about this gift because his love is so overwhelming to me, and his love has so transformed my life that I want people to encounter that in miraculous ways. One of the things I had the opportunity to do on this trip that was really meaningful was I had a overnight with the Filipino teachers at our school. Every year when I go on a mission trip, one of the things I try to do is to pour into the staff and just love on the staff there. And as I was preparing to do a little overnighter with these sweet Filipino teachers who serve just over the top. I mean, they're the way they show up and love others is profound. And I just felt like the Lord said, you need to wash their feet. Not because it was about me, but because it was about, can you understand that that's what Jesus did for us? When, you know, that when he shows up, he's not saying, go do this, this, and this. When Jesus shows up, he has a towel on his arm and he says, I'd like to wash your feet. I'd like to serve you. I'd like to love you. And so when I showed up for these teachers, it was with that attitude of, man, I just want to be Jesus love, extravagant love extended to you. And, you know, immediately you see them wrestling with the idea that I am going to wash their feet. You see there being a little bit of embarrassment over, don't look at my feet. My feet are dirty. Don't look at my feet. My feet haven't been well cared for. And I thought, gosh, isn't that what Jesus does for us? He takes the dirtiest, most embarrassing part of us, and he embraces it in his hands, and he cleans it, and he heals it, and he restores it. And there isn't even an ounce of, I'm grossed out by this, or an ounce of, I don't want to do this. This person doesn't deserve this. It is an overwhelming, extravagant love. And when you think about your own children, so that it was my honor, it was truly my honor to do this for our teachers and to show up and love them in this way. They really struggled with it. But as we started washing their feet, the tears just started flowing because they did encounter how Jesus feels towards them. And they were in a place of, I'm just going to receive it. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm not going to feel like now I owe something, because that's not God's economy. And you know, we just got to love on them and pray over them. And I was thinking as I was flying home about that moment and thought, you know, it's interesting, each one of us with our kids, I love that God gave us children because I think it gives us just a glimmer of his heart for us. You know, because for my kids, I would never buy my kids a gift and want my kids to feel guilty or bad about the gift that I bought them. You know, I would never want to buy my kids a gift and see them feeling like, oh, now I must work hard because now I owe her something. I, as a parent, I just take complete joy in watching my child find joy in the gift. I find complete joy in watching my child, you know, bask in that moment. And so it's what God longs for each one of us when, as we approach Easter season and he gave his only son to love us well, I hope it is not lost on us the profound love, extravagant love that spared no expense to reach to us, to bridge in relationship to us, just to pour into us, just to say, I long to be with you because I love you. I long to transform your life because I love you. And when that happens for us, the outflow of that isn't, now I must do all of these things. The outflow of that was, man, I was so transformed and so excited about the gift of God in my life that I want everybody to experience and encounter that because it is profound. You know, there's a verse in Psalms that says, renew the joy of my salvation. And I think of that all the time when I have the pleasure of leading someone to Jesus, because the transformation and joy that comes over their life is exhilarating because they've experienced God in such a profound way. And I think a lot of times if we've served in ministry or if we've loved Jesus for a long time, we lose that first love encounter. We lose that first sense of being overwhelmed by the goodness of God in our life. And I pray as we go into Easter season that we would bask for a moment. I would encourage you, even as in your homes, to explore ways that might be unique, you know, pray into it. For me, when I was with our sweet teachers, the Lord was really clear with me, hey, it's time to wash your feet. Maybe this is a season that you're doing that for your family, for your kids, so they can recognize and pause for a moment that we don't get in this user economy. I do big things for God. Man, God did the most profound, extravagant gift in my life and my obedience and service to him isn't because he needs me or wants to be a user of me. It's because my return is, it was so profound in my life. I want everybody to have this opportunity to experience it and encounter it. And so the love of the Father is coming in me, but it's flowing right through me. And it's not from a place of depletion. It's not from a place of I must. It comes from this very authentic, deep well, a deep calling unto deep. And so that's my prayer for you this Easter, that you encounter the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in your home with the recognition of the profound, extravagant love of a Father who spared no expense to reach to you and to bridge to you in this season. Know that he loves you. Know that you have access to the throne room of God and the extravagance of his love that he longs for you to experience in a very real way today. I pray you have a happy Easter and enjoy the goodness of God in your life and in your family.